Right, good morning everyone. Hope you're enjoying your coffee and biscuit, or biscuits, as in some cases, mentioning no names on the front row. You're all right, you're the second row. At great expense this morning, we've brought in Andy Reeves, who's going to be talking to us in a minute. I'm not going to give any prizes for guessing what he's going to be talking about. But over the last few months, we've been looking at our front lines and ways in which we can transfer our face frames and DNA into what we do on our front lines. I think last time Donna spoke on Open Blue, and we didn't let Andy speak on Open Blue because if you cut him through probably with a knife, you'd probably just see Open Blue right the way through him.
Don't try.
I saw them, Marion.
Pardon? Have a look. Right. So what we're going to do is pray for him as he shares with us this morning. He's only got 50 pieces of paper here, so it'll be a good time. Father, it's good to be able to have a laugh and to smile about things, but we know that there's this serious issue of how we reflect you and how we are you in our day-to-day lives. And I want to ask that as Andy shares with us this morning some of the things that you've laid on his heart, that there would be a real sort of transference to us and a transformation in us as we think about our front lines and the way in which we can help people connect with you in an authentic way, in a real way, that doesn't embarrass them in that sense, but actually draws them closer to you because what they see of you in us as well. So, Father, we bless him this morning in your name. Pray you fill him with your spirit and encourage him as he speaks to us, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, I think that's mine.
Yeah, that's your coffee. I don't want yours.
Oh,
no. Thank you. Just picking up on that, the Advent video, I didn't quite hear all that Dave said about what the programme was, but when I looked at the video, when I watched the video, I thought, whoa, yeah, if only I could imagine that it'll be slowed down. I can't quite imagine. But there is a thing that I'm trying to advertise on Twitter for any of you who follow me, which I think is probably only one of you, maybe, but, which is Black Friday. I don't know if you've heard of Black Friday. Black Friday is supposed to be the big shopping day where everybody goes out and shops and stuff. And there's a guy called Shane Claiborne, who's over in the States, who's a bit of a Christian activist, who's actually saying, buy nothing on Black Friday. And I do feel I can do that. I'm sure I'll have to buy something on another day, but I certainly could do it on Black Friday. And that might be part of the slowing down for me. I don't know. I do like the idea of slowing down at Christmas, so I'm looking forward to the Advent thing. Sorry, that's nothing to do with what we're talking about. Obviously, we're talking about Open Blue Bus and... Cavalry Connection. And sorry, Roy, that was for you. What I really want to try and unpack a little bit today is how we've done, or how we do, what the style of Cabaret Connections is, and then how we transfer that over a little bit into how we operate on our front lines. And I've got, I know Dave, you know when Dave Day comes and he always says, oh, I want you to interact with me and interrupt, and nobody really ever, I tried last time to interrupt a bit, because I think he says it and he ought to live by it, really. But I want to have a bit of interaction today. So what I really want to ask you is, what do you think is the main style that Cabaret Connections actually takes on? What's the main bit about it? It's actually fairly obvious, but there's probably not a right answer. So have a crack, shout out what you think. Some of the main things about Cabaret that are its advertising points, if you like, for Christians to bring along their friends who are not yet there or on the journey. Or do you not know?
It's a cabaret style. Sitting round tables.
It's a cabaret style, so it's round tables. Yeah, okay.
It's quite relaxed setting.
Okay, yeah. So there's tables, it's round and it's relaxed, yeah? Anything else?
Entertainment.
Interesting conversations.
So conversations. Food. Very important.
Alcohol.
Sorry?
Alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, right. I say value. I'm not sure. I just, sorry. For
stories.
Stories. Okay.
Building relationships.
Okay. Can I put that? I'll just put that with. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Just. The next question I've got, though, is that if you've never been to Cabaret Connections and you just say that, does it actually describe what Cabaret Connections is really like? Well, those are the underlying things that happen. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. But what actually goes on? How does it actually... If you were going to tell somebody about Cabaret Connections, what would you actually say to them? You're going to invite them. What would you say happens? Do you want me to pick on somebody, or are you going to... So what do you actually say happens? If you were going to say, so you're in a conversation with somebody at work or at home or something, you know, friend or work colleague, relative, and you're just in conversation, you say, oh, yeah, this Saturday night I'm going to Cabaret Connections. Well, what's Cabaret Connections?
It's church, but not as you know it's church.
Right, OK.
I always use the faith thing, the stories of faith and the living, I always say that, and then... I wouldn't want them to just think they're coming for a night out when we're, and then get, like, think I've got them there under false pretenses.
So, what, sorry, just, you just say the...
Stories of faith.
Stories of faith.
In a laid-back setting.
Okay, so you use the strap line, because that is the strap line, isn't it, Dave?
Cheers.
Yeah, well done, Rosie. Yeah, a little point for Rosie there.
I'm glad you had to check, Andy.
Sorry? Oh, yeah, it's a cross for me. Yeah.
The Andy one, Rosie.
No, me nil, Rosie one, yeah. So, stories of faith, actually, but do we still know what happens? Okay. Are you just going to sit round tables and tell stories? Sorry?
You have to explain the act.
You'd have to...
You've got somebody coming that's going to do... They're going to entertain. There's something special about them that we would...
Yeah, okay. So there is... You're going to highlight the entertainment, yeah?
Yeah, that's the draw.
Yeah.
Okay, and do you know who's... Do you know who's coming on the 12th of March next year? Who's a cappella? I know Adele. Oh, a cappella, and they're from Wales, aren't they?
Wales.
It's just quite interesting straight away, isn't it? You know what I mean? An a cappella group from Wales, they should be pretty good.
Jill's seen them. It's been hard.
What are they like? Okay. Right. And are they all male? Is it a male voice choir? All female. Right, okay. So, okay, do you want to give us any more information? No? Okay, all right, fair enough, it'll be interesting. Okay, so we've got that on the 12th of March. Okay, some of the things that happen here that we say as our values, I think have got to sort of, or need to be sort of partly, or used, if you like, or imbibed by us and in us, so that as we are on our front lines, we've got the same sort of way of going about things. So... let me just pick conversations for a moment. Quite a number of years ago, when I first was, you know, told to talk about Jesus and stuff like that, I thought that I had to have a conversation, that at the beginning of the conversation somebody might ask the question, but by the end of it I'd explained the whole gospel, and that they really had decided, you know, would have decided whether it was a good thing or not. and, you know, that sort of thing. And I've learned that, of course, the thing takes a heck of a lot longer than that, and that you have a conversation one day, and then people go away and think about it, and so do I, and then you can come back and say, yeah, well, actually, I was thinking about what you said, and I think this now, you know. And I've discovered that people don't mind doing that, whereas I, you know, my normal personality type is to get it done now. And but other people take a bit longer, and that's absolutely fine. So, what I want to just focus on something that I think probably we haven't talked about yet, which is probably is quite a prophetic sort of thing for us, is that, and I was talking about this with the teams actually last week, is this three-story concept, which is this. You have a story. Your friends, family, or work colleagues have a story too. So there's your story, their story, and then there's God's story as well. And so you can look at those three sets of stories in sort of preparation. So it's quite good to actually work through what your story is, because if you're like me, what happens is you end up, if you said to me, tell me your story, I would probably give you far too much detail in the beginning of the thing. And so therefore, you're yawning or you're asleep or you've grown a beard, if you're a man, before I've got even partway through the story, because I just put too much detail into it. So I need to work on my personal story as to what the main points are, as to how I've got to where I've got to. The other thing that I find really difficult is actually listening to other people. Difficult most of the time, and I have to really train myself to listen to what other people are saying, okay, and then listen to what their story is. And so that sort of skill is really quite important, because I found that as I do listen to what other people are saying, I begin to find that their stories are really quite interesting, and I also begin to be able to spot, maybe not at the time they're saying it, but afterwards I reflect on it and think, well, God's at work in that person. Something's going on. Why did they say that? And I have those sort of questions going on. And then, of course, there's the opportunity of telling God's story as well, which I also want to discuss this morning, because I think, well, I've got quite a degree of... I've got a story about that in a way. I think what we'll do is we'll take a look at the first video, because there's this piece of research that the Evangelical Alliance have done. And I will comment on it. Yeah, so have a crack at that.
Have they ever had a conversation with a practicing Christian about Jesus? Answers to questions like these could really help us share the most amazing news. The love of God for all of us through Jesus. So we asked. And here's what people your friends and neighbours said. 57% said they're a Christian. 9% are active Christians. They regularly go to church, pray and read the Bible. Starting place. Well, what do they actually know about Jesus? 21% think he's God, while 30% think he's a spiritual leader or prophet. But only 60% think he was an actual, real, historical person. Our job here is clear. Let's make sure everyone gets to hear that Jesus actually lived and walked on earth and that he claimed he was God. How are we going to do this? Well, 67% said they know one of us, an active follower of Jesus. And we're most likely to be their family and friends. But have we ever spoken to them about Jesus? 58% of those who know us have had a conversation about Jesus with us. Now that's a great start. But what do they think about Jesus after that conversation? 1 in 5 are open to knowing and experiencing more about him. That's 1 in 5 of your friends and family members, the people you know really well, who are waiting for you to talk about Jesus with them. And we found out that talking to someone who knows Jesus was really important in helping 36% of us decide to follow Jesus for ourselves. So let's talk Jesus.
Okay. I'll give you a moment to sort of this little think about what your reactions are, whilst I'll just tell you what my reaction was to that video. I only picked out one thing, and I've been told one other thing, which I'll tell you. So, but the main thing that I got was that last little bit, is let's talk Jesus. And immediately I went into panic mode. I actually panicked at that point inside. I just thought, what am I going to say? Talk about Jesus. They haven't said anything about what I'm supposed to say. What am I supposed to say? how do you start a conversation about it? And I just because it was quite in your face, and just you got to talk about Jesus. And then the other bit, which Dave pointed out to me, was the statistic. There's loads of statistics there, and I don't do them very well, but there was a 67% in there for something, wasn't there? I can't remember what that was. But there was a 1 in 5. What was the 1 in 5?
Friends.
You've got 1 in 5 of the people.
The people that you know.
Are waiting for you to talk about Jesus. And I think, oh, that's an interesting statistic. How do you know? Because there's 4 that aren't. I mean, if I've got 5 friends, 4 are not waiting for me to talk to them about Jesus. So how do I spot the guy who how do you do that?
You don't. Try and error.
So you just take a shotgun approach. Right, okay. Right, okay.
They all must be waiting for you to talk about Jesus, though, but they just don't know.
Go on, tell us a little bit more. How do you get around that then, when they go, no, I don't want to know?
I suppose from building relationships with people, like the majority of my friends, and then obviously you wonderful people, I'm not Christians, so it's through actions and through the way that I behave and the way that...
And they still want...
Behave.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And, right. And things like that. But also, they do... There are ones that do say, oh, I heard this on the radio today, I heard that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And current events and things that happen, what are your view on it, Sarah?
Right.
So they give it when they don't want it.
Okay,
anyway.
Now when you say that, I start to feel better, because what you're saying there is that some of your friends actually already know you're a Christian, and so therefore some of them are thinking about it, and they're coming back to you with stuff that they've heard, because you're having what I call an ongoing conversation, which just keeps the conversation going. So Cabaret Connections, of course, sort of I see as fitting in to that process at times, because what it does is you may be having a conversation with people, then you either have Cafe Connection or Cabaret Connection come, and you go, oh, would you like to come to that? Because that can sometimes kick-start a conversation about faith, where you've been a little bit reticent, you're not quite sure about talking to people about faith, but if they come to Cabaret, they're a bit more open to it, and then they might, yes, Rolf?
There's something that you taught me, Andy, was, which does make it a lot more difficult to recognise those people, but very often a person that's very against, antagonistic, is often a person that really is searching, and it's difficult to recognize those people in conversations, to know that they're wanting to find out more, but just because they've been very offish and blunt and whatever doesn't necessarily mean they're not interested.
Yeah, so they're putting up defenses. And they're saying, really, if you can knock them down, I'd be interested.
That's
so they're testing you out, really, aren't they? Yeah. Okay. I've got a... Ultimately, I'm not quite sure whether what the talk about Jesus is, where it's actually going. Go on, Andy, you've got something?
Yeah, I think we do talk Jesus to a lot of people, but you've got this idea, perhaps, of talking Jesus as sort of lecturer or... To tell them this is the story of Jesus, but talking Jesus is about being in our normal lives, isn't it? Same doing the things we do, reacting we do to everyday situations. So when you're asked a question, you respond in a particular way, and that's where you're supposed to be a response which is more like the way that Jesus would respond to that. So, if someone comes up to you and talks about Syrian refugees, or while they talk about the bombings in Paris, or what have you, your response should be a reflection of what Jesus wants would have said in those circumstances.
Okay, yeah.
You are talking Jesus to people every day and in the normal things you do. It's not about necessarily talking, the Jesus as a saviour and all the rest of it. That comes later as people become to question and get nearer. But you are always just reflecting that and talking Jesus all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I just want to show another video, which I did show to the... I think I showed this to the teens last week, because we were talking about my story, their story, God's story. And we were talking about God's story. I'd like your views, if you like, on... How this video makes you feel.
In the beginning, God created a perfect world. God created us, human beings. Created us with clean hearts. And he gave us free choice. The freedom to choose what we do, say, and think. But we often choose to do the things that hurt others, that hurt ourselves, and hurt God. Like greed. Lust. Unfaithfulness. Dishonesty. The bad choices we make, our sins, ruin the perfect world God made. They hurt others, and they make our clean hearts dirty. God, who is good and perfect, seems far away from our ruined world. He knows we can't sort it out ourselves, but he loves us and wants us close to him. So he had to take action. God's answer was to come to earth as one of us in the person of Jesus. He was pure, clean, and without sin. When he died on the cross, he died in our place. He took our dirty hearts on himself. He took our punishment and forgave our sins, and he gave us a new start. Like a new clean t-shirt. And he made us acceptable to God again. We all have the choice to say sorry and accept forgiveness for our sins.
What do you think? Did you like that? Did you not like it? I thought it was a bit in your face, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it where we're trying to get to in our conversations? Would you like to have a conversation about that sort of thing over a cup of coffee in Costa? Are we really trying to get our conversations that far, or are we trying to get people to get that bit by osmosis, you know, just at the end? We talk about other things, like Andy was talking about, you know, it's all our responses and stuff. But how would you weave that, if you do think that's the right thing, how would you weave that into the conversation? Would you have a dirty T-shirt with you and a clean one?
Ask them if they're wearing a clean T-shirt.
Yeah.
People don't like the concept of sin.
No.
It's a difficult one.
Yeah.
They like to believe that they're all right as they are, don't they? That they're acceptable as they are. And that's what they
mean. Yeah. But people also...
They interpret it as many ways to God.
Yeah. People also know that they make mistakes, though.
Yeah.
And are very aware of their shortcomings.
It's partly the language, isn't it? How you describe it.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
use the terms,
so. No. Well... Some people, shortcomings, mistakes and stuff like that, yeah. So it begins to become, we've got a message and we've got to work out how we're actually going to have a conversation about that. And you need to work out, really, how you're going to have a conversation about that. I think, though, that one of the things that's highlighted for me, and I take out of that, so I just illustrate how I take something, is the fact that people mess up and get messy, and lives are messy. And very often, it's very difficult to make the right decisions even, because you can't tell whether it's a right decision or, you know, is this right or is this right? It's not, is this right and this wrong? Should I do this or steal all of this money? It's never really quite that clear, is it? You know, it's more difficult than that. And then you end up feeling like you've hurt somebody or whatever. And so there are those sorts of mistakes, particularly with relationships. And so I think to myself, the sort of thing that Jesus has started us with is, you know, sort of a movement towards forgiveness. It's a reconciliation and those sort of things. And I'd start to weave that sort of thing in because Jesus is the starting point for that. But that's just me, and I'm sure that you've got some different ideas. Dave, you told me the other day, and you may not remember this, but you gave me some examples of stories of Cabaret Connection and how things had changed and stuff. And one of the things that Dave said to me straight away was that with Cabaret Connection, over 50%, on average this is, but over the 9 years we've been doing Cabaret, over 50% of the people who come are not regular, or they're non-church people. And if you look at some of the highest percentages for normal sort of Christian events that are outreach, you normally, it's considered to be good at 30%. And yet we've got an average of 50, which means, and I know Dave said this, he said at some events we've had 75% of the people have been non-church attenders. And he thought that that was possibly a little bit too much. I beg to disagree, to be honest with you. I just think that's just phenomenal. Obviously, there will be a point where if there's no Christians there, what are you doing? But here's some of the stories. Carol, where is Carol? Oh, no, she's doing teens. Carol has brought friends consistently over quite a period of time, and some of those, or one or two of those friends, view Cabaret Connection as being church for them. So that's where they get their spiritual input about three times a year. Which, you know, is just amazing, I think, that they view it like that. Some of her friends have actually, one or two have been church attenders, but on a very irregular basis. But having come to Cabaret, they've upped their commitment into their own local church. I know that the group of people that I brought from Laycock with the from the bus, I know that over the period of time that those people have accepted prayer much, much more readily. So, you know, Betty has been here. She's about, she's 96 now, and she's in Savernake Hospital at the moment. Philip and I went to see her a couple of weeks ago, and we prayed for her. And I said, would you like us to pray for you? Yes, please. Well, when we first met Betty, there was no way that was happening. You know, so, and I think Cabaret has been a part of that. I know that Rachel Rachel's gathering on the table is a very interesting concept, because Rachel doesn't gather the people together herself. She knows someone who's not part of Dayspring who gathers the people together for the table. I think it's quite clever, really. And Anne, I think it's Anne, isn't it?
Sorry, I was reading some Old Testament stuff, and you know in the Old Testament you're supposed to like reject all the people into spiritualism and all stuff like that. I have got this enormous question of, here is my key person, and she's got links into that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yet she's bringing a whole load of people, some of whom are interested in Christianity, into.
Yep, and some of them have then come on our church weekend, haven't they?
Yes.
And things like that. So there's things happening like that. I know that I thought of Marion and Peter, because their story is one that it's a bit like mine now as well, because they've had a group of people that have been through Peter's work. I know there's a guy he brought to Alpha many years ago, and he's kept coming to Cabaret and stuff. But I know that they're feeling a little bit despondent about their group, because most of the guys seem to have moved away. Is that right?
Yeah.
They've
he's
just.
Broad.
Pardon?
Abroad.
Even abroad. So, and it's not because of Marion and Peter that they've done that. So, but that's just life. Things like that happen. For me, with the Laycock group, these guys have just got older and more and more frail, and so therefore they're unable to come anymore. That's life. So these sort of vagaries of things happen. Also, the other thing that happens, of course, is Cafe Connection, where we do something. I'm not sure we're going to get time to really get into that. But that's probably a little bit more intimate. But I having gone to cafe all of these times and preparing for this talk, I discovered something about why we do cafe. I probably was told this because I do forget things. Dave knows that I will have almost certainly been told it. But I discovered that we do cabaret connections here, and that's for that sort of big funnel take-in people. And then we've got Alpha, where people are really interested to know more about Christianity and stuff. And we needed to fill the gap in the middle, and that's why we did cafe. And I only discovered that on Friday, again, should we say. So there you go. But the cafe connection thing just gives you a chance to have more conversations and also allows the conversations to go wider across the groups, I've found as well. So I think that we've got an interesting sort of year ahead with 2016. I've got, last week, Dave Halls gave out he only gave out one date, which was the 12th of March, Saturday the 12th of March, where we've got the a cappella group coming. We've got a group coming in June. We don't know the date of that yet, and we don't know who's... That's not arranged yet, is it, Dave? But there's going to be a cabaret in June, all being well. And also, and Dave has given me the date for this, for October. Well, I don't know if you know the date, but it's the 15th of October. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's Joe Enright.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Joe Enright, well, there's a bit of story for Chiquita's table, isn't it? Because Joe Enright came to us to cabaret some years ago, didn't she?
Mm.
And I think it was you were trying to persuade your work colleagues to come. And eventually they came to the Joe Enright, the first time Joe Enright came. Is that right?
Tell me who she is and what she does.
She was a comedian.
Oh, right.
A little one, short.
Wasn't it?
Short one, yeah.
Okay.
The teacher came across the first one.
The what?
The teacher.
Yeah.
The
teacher.
Okay. Okay.
Well, that was a long time. But there was a big gap between them coming to that one and Joe Enright. It was 5 years between those two back.
Oh, right. And then after Joe Enright, I think I'm right in saying then, you can correct me, obviously, but after Joe Enright, they went, wow, this is so good, it doesn't really matter what the act is, we're going to come. And they've done that since, haven't they? Now, actually, Chiquita's story flags up something that I think we do have to face. If we are into mission and we're into seeing people become Christians, Jesus has also said to, he doesn't just say, sort of draw people a bit on their journey. He didn't say that just before the ascension. He actually said, make disciples, which means that people need to follow you and need to follow him, obviously, but they make disciples of all nations. And so I have watched Chiquita's table grow from half a table to a whole table to 1.5 tables to 2 tables. And I know what it's like to have 2 tables and you don't know which one to sit on. And then you go to one, and then you for a while, and then you go to the other on the same evening, and you're trying to keep up the conversation, but you can't do it, and so on, and it all becomes a bit of a problem. But the other dimension that's happened with Chiquita is that people have been asking questions and starting to go forward, and they're starting to want to know more. And I think an alarm bell rings, certainly rings, would ring in my head, and I think it has rung in Chiquita's, you can correct me again if I'm wrong, but is, oh my goodness, these people might want to know more about Jesus than I know. They might want more from me than I'm prepared to give. Can I pass these people on to someone else? And I think that's a real issue, isn't it? Because if we are taking the start of the process, we have to look at the rest of the process so that people are going to want to follow Jesus, and we've got to get them to follow Jesus in a way that we can cope with and they can cope with. And hopefully Jesus does most of the work, but I'm sure that we're going to have to do some of it. And I think that's a little bit frightening at times, because it means we'll have to change our lifestyle. We won't just have our family and friends as normal, but there'll be other conversations to be had, and some things will have to shift out of our lives. So I'm just sort of leaving you with that sort of challenge over our lives. I don't know if anybody wants to make any comments, you think I've left something out. I haven't linked it to the front line properly, and you think, oh, I can see how it should link to the front line. Because I'd be very happy to hear it. I don't know if I've covered all the bases. I don't think we have covered all the bases. Hopefully you're have a little think about that.
The only thing that struck me, Andy, is it's about relationships, isn't it? Because actually the gospel is quite a heavy thing. You know the old thing about you can't put a heavy load over unless you build a bridge securely. And it's how we are able to do that in relation to the world and our lives being so busy, and how we make room for actually getting alongside people so that there's that there to begin with to then build on.
Yeah. That reminds me of the go slow thing on the Advent. Because if we were go slow type people instead of go quick type people over Christmas, we would immediately have to stop. You know, maybe there wouldn't be so many presents for my kids, because I wouldn't have gone out so much, done so much shopping. It doesn't mean that we slow down at certain bits and then have to speed up even more at other bits. That can't be what Advent means, or that video meant. It meant you've got to just generally slow down. So do we have less food at Christmas because of it, or something like that, so that we can spend time with the relationships, I think, is... Anyway, sorry, we can keep talking, really, as those things. The other thing to note, just finally, is that the Cabaret Connection website is now mobile-friendly. And I did have this wonderful idea that you all got your phones out and had a quick look at it, but you don't need to do that, really. But apparently it's... Well, it is really good, because I've had a look. And it's very simple on your phone, and you can just see what it is. So you can show your friend, look, here's the thing, bang, bang, you know, it looks like this. And I think that that can be used in the conversations too. And we're also going for... I got a note about this, that as Dayspring, we say we are organising ourselves on a missional... our organising principle is mission. So therefore, we organise our church around the fact that we're trying to be missional. And Cabaret Connection is a big part of that. And so when we come to the 12th of March, Dave's bit last week about us all pulling together so that we can actually make Cabaret work, because there's quite a lot of work involved in making it happen. And how we work together as a team is just really, really important. That'll be part of the overall thing in the end as well, I think. So we'll see how we pan out together on that next year. Okay? Right. Thank you for making your contributions. That was really good. So we're done now. So that's it.